This is A New Angle, a show about cool people doing awesome things in and around Montana. I'm your host, Justin Angle. This show is supported by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and the University of Montana College of Business. Hey folks, welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. Today I am speaking with Devon Hayes, Commercial Sales Manager for Montana at TDS Communications, and a prolific community leader in Billings.
I've come to realize that me helping other people and helping other organizations accomplish their goals, accomplish their objectives, me investing in my community has had a direct correlation with the success that I've seen.
Devon is the director and lead organizer for TEDx Billings, in addition to multiple other professional and service-oriented pursuits. Devon, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Justin. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. So tell us, where did you grow up and what did your parents do?
I grew up in Billings, Montana, the beautiful city in the valley. And my mom, growing up, actually worked for Billings Clinic in the Human Resources Department.
Super. You grew up in a biracial family, right? Talk about that as you know, probably not that common an upbringing in Billings, Montana. What was that experience like?
It's funny because I described being one of a few growing up here in Montana. But it wasn't until I moved to California that I really came to appreciate Billings and just the Montana community in general for how they accepted people. Because the one thing that I noticed about California, I lived in San Jose for about 6 months and then moved down to Monterey County.
And what stage in your history was this? Because you Billings for high school and college, was it after college?
It was, yeah. Okay. It was after college. My wife had just graduated with her degree and ended up getting a job down there, which is what brought us to that area. And that's kind of where I got into my first sales and marketing kind of job that ended up being a career. But the one thing about that I noticed in California was that, yes, it was more culturally diverse in the sense that there is more cultures just in that area operating, doing business and those things. But the one thing I noticed about that was they all hung out with each other. Right. Hmm. The Asian community kind of stuck to themselves, hung out with, you know, other Asians. The Black community hung out with the other Black folk. You know, everybody kind of just hung out with their ethnic groups rather than intermingling. So while everybody was there and there was a larger number of them, and yes, more diverse restaurants and things like that, it wasn't that they were necessarily intermingling those communities together. When I moved back to Billings to start my first business, I remember I was working inside of a Costco, and a older couple who were Caucasian with, you know, silver hair pushed a cart with two little brown babies in it right past me down the aisle. And it occurred to me that that was the first time I had seen that since I had been back, and that was something that I did not see when I lived in California.
Let's talk about your professional pursuits. You have a prolific sales career. We should talk about your relatively new appointment as commercial sales manager for Montana at TDS Communications. What attracted you to sales initially, and why have you directed your professional ambitions there?
I've always been good with people. I've always been able to relate and speak to almost anybody. And I was always in sports, so I'm very competitive. And when I got out of college and my wife landed her new job under her degree field out in California, I was simply just applying to positions to see what I could find. And I ended up applying to a sales and marketing role, getting hired in that role, and very quickly seeing success. And of course, in sales, if you've got a good sales job, you're making commission. Mm-hmm. And once you get a taste of sales in the aspect of making good commission while doing sales, it's hard to get away from that. And so I just found a job, was good at talking to people and building relationships, and found success early. And, you know, they had other opportunities that led me to stay with that company and ultimately relocate that business to Montana.
Oftentimes with students, I find that sales is kind of a tough sell, right? There's a bit of baggage associated with the term, stereotypes and so forth. But it really can be not only a wonderful career, but also critical to the organization. Without a sale, without a transaction, a business doesn't really exist. So
right.
Maybe take a moment to sort of sell the sales career as a thing.
Really, we all do sales each and every day, whether it be the mom who is trying to correlate the message to her children that they need to clean their rooms and they need to do X, Y, and Z in order to get X, Y, and Z out of it. That is a sales process. Mm-hmm. Or the wife who is convincing her husband to go on a vacation to a particular destination, or the child who wants a PS5 for Christmas and is doing everything in their power to convey a message to their parents that it is.
Are you speaking from experience?
Maybe just a little bit here, but
sure.
I think when you kind of put it in those terms to people, then they start to realize that they use sales every single day.
Right.
And it's really just a matter of communication and relating to people. I had a barrier with sales when I first got into it too. Everybody's scared of being told no, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
And the reality of the situation is most people that earn a high income are doing some form of sales, and they make a high commission amount from those sales. And so if we want to be like those folks, it's a good industry to get into and just realize that we all use it every day, regardless.
So in addition to your professional pursuits, you are prolific community leader in Billings. I suppose one of the most prominent things you do is you direct and are the lead organizer for TEDx Billings. First of all, what is TEDx for listeners that it's hard to imagine a listener hasn't heard of a TED Talk or TEDx in general, but let's talk about what that enterprise is to start.
TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And so a TEDx event is going to feature all three of those aspects. The tagline and theme for TED's mission overall is ideas worth spreading. And so what you'll notice at a TEDx event is that the ideas that are shared are typically across a wide variety of different backgrounds, industries, which provides a really, really unique experience for the attendees. We've got speakers and musicians and performers of all types that show up to display their talents and their ideas and their inventions, whatever it may be. And at the root of it, we're featuring real people who are local to our region and our community and giving their voices a platform, which is managed by TED and licensed by TED, to broadcast their ideas through an event that we hold here locally, but then also we record those talks. Those talks get thrown on YouTube and highlight our community forever through the TEDx official YouTube channel, which is a really cool impact that TEDx event also has for the communities that we operate in.
And when did TED get on your radar screen? And when did you start thinking it was the sort of thing that that should be brought to Billings?
Well, I've consumed, probably at this point, thousands of TEDx talks and TED talks. And so it's always been something that I've kind of sought out for information or just new perspectives or just cutting edge, thought-provoking ideas. It's always been something that I've consumed. So I've always been aware of it in that sense. And then I heard one day that Bozeman was going to have a TEDx event.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I got really curious on possibly attending that event and just kind of looking into what that would look like. But the more that I thought about attending the Bozeman event, the more curious I got as to why I had never heard that Billings was going to have a TEDx event.
Okay.
And, I'm the guy that I don't just stop there. I keep looking. And so of course I stumble on some more information and find that the TEDx Billings license is available. Nobody's currently holding it. I find out all that it takes on the TED end of things to get the license. and decided to just post a Facebook post on my social media feed to see if anybody out there might want to help me bring TEDx back to Billings. I'm not the first person to bring it here. There was somebody that hosted a few events prior to me, but I posted the status. It turns out there was quite a few people that thought it would be a great idea and wanted to help. One person in particular by the name of Gary Carson reached out and said, "Hey, it's really funny you posted that status because Mark Donahue and I were just talking about this the other day. And we think we should get together and see if this is something that is feasible for us to do." So the three of us met. All three of us had very different strengths, but the strengths played very nicely along with each other's. And so we decided to go ahead and pursue it. And so that was in early 2020. And here we are in 2023. We've hosted two large events with 16 speakers and 7 salon events.
Excellent. Talk about some of the highlights from those events. Any talks that I'm sure, like your children, they're all your favorite, all your speakers, but any that stand out as particularly compelling or ones that you learned something unique from or were surprised by?
I will kind of highlight two from 2022. Mm-hmm. And really, I just highlight those two because they performed the best online, which is, again, redirecting that traffic and that pride on our within our communities, reverberating out on the online interwebs. But two talks. One would be, the first one would be the one by Tim Pollard. It's called Why Communication Fails and How to Fix It. I firmly believe that that is a talk that every single person should watch and probably watch a few times so they really grasp what he's going over there, because it's all about how to communicate better to ultimately see success in whatever you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great one. That one was actually selected by TED and set aside and highlighted at a specific time on a specific date of their choosing that maximized its reach. They alerted all of their subscribers that this was a TEDx talk that they needed to listen to. And it actually ended up being the 51st most viewed TEDx talk of 2022.
Oh, wow.
So that one's actually on the homepage of our website, TEDxBillings.com. You can still check that one out there. The next one is called The Hopper Gobbler by Danny Ryrus. That one's sitting just over 200,000 views. And in that talk, he poses the solution of directing our protein sources to grasshoppers and crickets.
Hmm.
And just talks about the benefits of that and a planet partnership is how he kind of puts it.
We'll be back to my conversation with Devon Hayes after this short break. A New Angle is supported by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and UM's College of Business. Access to capital, broadband, and education are three ingredients any community needs for success.
Hello, this is Jeff Ament from Deaf Charlie, and you're listening to Justin Angle's A New Angle.
Welcome back to A New Angle. I'm speaking with Devon Hayes about his community leadership in Billings. For somebody who hasn't been to a TED event, there is a great diversity in the sort of types of talks that you will encounter, the topics and backgrounds of the speakers. However, there is sort of a through line, the style of the talks. There's some degree of consistency across the style. What if somebody's interested in attending, what would you tell them they should expect?
Expect to be in a room that feels electric. And it feels electric because of the ideas that are being shared and just the people that are in the room. The people that typically attend a TEDx event are all people that want to be part of their community. They're also people that are seeking a new understanding, a different understanding, a higher understanding of a certain topic, or just to be a better individual. And so that alone lends to our events just being really special, because typically there's a different crowd at each event and all of them kind of have those same characteristics.
Sure.
above and beyond that, as far as presentations go, I mean, this year we had people talking about addiction and recovery, a best-selling author that actually has a really cool solution where he uses updated technology to reach people who in addiction and help them along their recovery path. That one was really impactful. We also had a gentleman who spoke about failure and how to overcome failure and ultimately achieve success. But the way he tells the story, it was done in such a dynamic way that I think that's going to make a really big impact. We also had a professor of rhetoric share how choosing mediocrity can sometimes alleviate stress and help you ultimately progress to see success. But we also talked about cryptocurrency and the blockchain and the future of what that might look like for our community. We had a singer-songwriter, Julia Angelo, share four or five of her pieces live and in person, as well as rapper and spoken word artist Nick Bravo performed his rap song about his struggles of dealing with COVID long haul syndrome.
Yeah.
And so he's got a really unique story about not being born with a debilitating disease, but developing one after contracting COVID three separate times.
Wow.
And so all over the place, you see kind of examples like that.
So we're living in a time where, you know, story is so prominent. You know, so many of us have social media feeds, and there's so many ways we can distribute our own stories or the stories of others. There's some live storytelling platforms. There's a program called Tell Us Something here in Missoula. That's a quarterly program, and it sells out the Wilma every time. If somebody's interested in telling a story that they have a story to tell, or they have an idea that they think is worth sharing, how would you sort of pitch TED, or how would you help them understand if TEDx Billings is maybe an outlet they should consider?
First thing is, I think, is that somebody's got to be ready for it. You have to be internally ready for it to end up being successful. But the one thing I'll also say is that everybody has a story. Everybody has a message. Everybody has something to say that somebody out there will resonate with. And if you can find the courage within yourself to stand up on that stage and share your story, and ultimately have that story captured and thrown online, there will be people out there who will resonate with that story. And you just don't know what impact it's going to have on their life. So why not share your message on the TEDx stage?
Just put yourself out there and see what happens. Yeah.
Right. That's, I think, the biggest thing most people fail to do. They tell themselves one reason or another of why they shouldn't do it, and they settle on that, when really we should just try as many things as possible and just know that you are worthy. You do have a story, and somebody out there is going to resonate with it.
I love it. And speaking of just trying and doing as many things as possible, I mean, when it comes to community service, you seem to be somebody who says yes to a lot of things, actively involved in United Way, serve Billings in a variety of ways, coach your kids' sports teams. Talk about your service orientation and why that's so important to you.
I've come to realize that me helping other people and helping other organizations accomplish their goals, accomplish their objectives, me investing in my community has had a direct correlation with the success that I've seen in my career. I, by default, am successful by helping other people and other organizations be successful. And from time to time, I do get myself into trouble because I end up sometimes saying yes to too many things. But they all come back to wanting to help others, typically help children, because they are our future. They, you know, those are the future people who will lead our communities. And I believe investing in those young kiddos is vitally important.
So you mentioned children there and issues involving children. You know, what are your sort of top priority issues when it comes to allocating your service time?
Well, just really providing role models and just mentorship to children. And I typically tend to do that in the sports arena. Like I said earlier, I grew up in the sports arena. I played almost every sport growing up. Football and track and field and basketball were kind of my passions. And so I really invest and try to mentor kids in those arenas and just pass on a mindset that kids can do anything. You can do anything. It's just a matter of, will you put in the work? Will you do the work to achieve what you want to achieve? And that's probably the biggest thing I tried to pass down to really anyone that I interact with or mentor, but especially children, because I don't think kids really hear that enough, you know, that they can do anything. The question is, will you put in the work?
Montana has a changing economy. Billings, I'm sure, has a changing economy in many dimensions. What do you think are sort of the top issues and challenges facing your community as it sort of recovers from COVID and moves forward to the next phase of its economic development?
Well, I think public safety is the big hot button issue in Billings as of recently. And so I think that's an area that needs to have a continued focus. Luckily, we passed a public safety mill levy recently, and the effects of that mill levy are starting to be seen. And so my hope is that as additional funding rolls out from that and just everything is implemented, that continues to curb. After that, it's housing, of course.
Sure.
That's probably the biggest problem in the entire country at this point in time. And we're certainly not immune to it here in Billings. But the good news is there are a lot of organizations that are doing work in those areas. And good. So I hope to see a continued improvement here in my community.
A couple more topics I'd like to hit in the time we have remaining. It sounds like you are a cryptocurrency enthusiast. Talk about that space and the space it occupies in your life.
Cryptocurrency is just, I think it's almost like the next frontier in my mind. I think something that's going to be around for a long time, something that is useful. There's countless different use cases that are involved with it. But there's a lot of complexities and there's a lot of things that still need to be figured out as far as regulations and just all of that. I just think that there's going to be a lot of transparency that we can bring to the way that finances and just different things happen when we can combine those with blockchain and a proof of stake mechanism.
Yeah, you mentioned use cases a moment ago. Like, what are some of the most compelling use cases to you?
Well, you've got blockchains that do similar things to like a Google Drive. I would compare it to like Google Drive, different storage solutions that are on a blockchain.
Okay.
Except for with Google Drive, you don't always see who made a change. Unless you're viewing the page in real time, you can see who made the changes. With a blockchain, there's a note of each transaction that happens and there's a signature on each transaction. So it just provides more transparency when sharing and exchanging data. So there's storage applications out there that do that. There's also different ways to utilize smart contracts to just optimize different processes and workflows. There's a blockchain called VeChain that actually primarily focuses in that realm of just speeding up workflows. And they do a lot of stuff in distribution over in China to optimize workflows. So I think that there's just a lot to learn. I'm not an expert by any means, but I am somebody who invests and is constantly absorbing information from that space. And I just think that with the amount of activity that's happening there, we'd be foolish not to pay attention.
Yeah, I think the same applies to, you know, some of these new or relatively new artificial intelligence tools. Like, these are important developments, and it's important for, well, I mean, I think it's critical for all of us to have some degree of fluency,
right,
with these tools, resources, technologies, however you want to describe them.
Well, the ease of crypto, once people understand it, I think is very appealing. You know, today when you're just talking about making a transaction across countries, you know, that can be pretty cumbersome. Yeah. Right. But when using cryptocurrencies, all you need is that you both have a wallet that accepts the currency that you're sending, and you just send it over the blockchain, and it's in the person's hands within seconds. So even just in simple exchanges of money between people, person to person or company to company, I think even just that is a huge use case. But there's so much to talk about. My mind kind of raced when you asked that question, because there's just so much. But I'm excited to see kind of where that goes. And AI is another big one that I think is another next frontier, and one that I am definitely paying attention to. I actually utilize AI quite a bit.
Nice. For your writing, for search, for how are you using it?
Gosh, I kind of use it for everything, to be honest. I have found that it has made my life exponentially easier just in gathering information, mm-hmm. and analyzing information or summarizing information, or just providing different tips, tricks, just different ways to think about something, because you can literally talk to it like a human being and almost have a conversation with it back and forth, and just kind of go through a thought process. And, you know, the more you utilize it, the more you start to realize how effective it makes you. And I've just found myself finding new ways to use it to accomplish other things, or just compile information for me so that I can just digest it more quickly.
Last question, Devon. Tell us about 406 Media. What is that?
So 406 Media right now is an Instagram account that I manage that features my life, dad life content, along with local restaurants, destinations, events, just different things going on in my community and around the state. It's kind of molded itself over the years. It initially started as a digital advertising agency, and then I turned it into kind of a social media agency, and now it's just Devon and me sharing my love for my state and just helping connect people to things that are happening in my state and in my community. Because here in Montana, we do a really good job of hiding the cool things.
Yeah.
And I think that we should maybe just share those a little bit more.
I love it. It's a wonderful feed. I encourage listeners to check it out. Devon, I just so appreciate learning more about you and your work and all the things you do to invest in and grow your community. Thanks so much for sharing some of your story with us today.
Justin, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate the invite. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to A New Angle. We really appreciate it. And we're coming to you from Studio 49. Generous gift from UM alums Michelle and Warren Hansen. A New Angle is presented by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and the University of Montana College of Business, with additional support from Consolidated Electrical Distributors, Drum Coffee, and Montana Public Radio. Kelly Larson is our producer. Maddie Jordan is our production assistant. VTO, Jeff Ament, and John Wicks made our music. And Jeff Meese is our master of all things sound. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.